Well, it's good to be here in the service this evening. And we're thankful to the Lord for allowing us to be in His house to come together and share with you a little bit of the Word of the Lord. And I know it's rainy outside where you are and everything, but Lord willing, this coming Sunday, if everything goes to plan, we're hoping to start coming inside for those who want to and are able and feel comfortable doing that. Coming inside, we'll still make available the drive-in service for those who want to come be a part of that. And then we're going to still continue to live stream and make that available online for those who are still wanting to be at home and watch the live stream service. That will still be available. But Lord willing, this coming Sunday, we are going to try to open up the church doors and make it available for those who want to come in. We'll have some guidelines that I'll be posting online, hopefully tomorrow, and we'll be getting those things set up. And we've been talking with the deacons and getting those things ironed out. We'll talk a few minutes after the service with them again tonight and make sure we've got everything organized. And then, Lord willing, we'll post those things, hopefully, tomorrow, like I said, and maybe even put on a short video, like I've been talking about, and mention some of those guidelines in that. We had first talked about maybe starting out in the building and having service there, but we talked more about it Sunday and think we can better distance people by coming here in the sanctuary. So we're going to do that in here and have service here in the church sanctuary. And so that is our goal in our plan for this Lord's Day. Service time will be at 10:30, like we've been doing. We will not have Sunday school. That will continue to be on the website. As a matter of fact, this coming Sunday, Adam will be recording the lesson for the adults and Molly for the kids, and that'll be on the website as we've been doing, and we'll only do a Sunday morning service starting out, and we will do the Sunday morning. And then next Wednesday, we will come inside also, but we will not have Sunday evening starting out, and we will not have Sunday school inside starting out. And gradually, we'll work into some of those others, but this is how we'll begin. And just a couple of things I'll mention tonight. We will recommend the wearing of face masks. We're recommending those. If you have them, you can wear your own, or we will provide one for you when you come in. As you come in, please don't punch together as you come in, but maintain a distance of 6 feet as you come into the service. And we will be able to have you to come in the front as well if anyone needs to come in the side here. And we'll have some things to say about coming in these doors as we have put those things on the website. Just wanted to mention that. So keep that in mind. If you have a face mask, we recommend that and ask you to wear them if you're comfortable wearing that. And And keep that in mind. If not, we can provide you with one. So watch the website. We'll make some phone calls and let you know some of those things. We will have the some pews marked off. We ask that families will sit together and just stay in groups of families. And we want to distance in our seating, not punch up other than families, and spread out and maintain the social distancing. We can seat in 50% of the church capacity according to the guidelines set forth by the governor. And those are the guidelines we're following. And so these are just some things that we are setting forth. So we're looking at those things and want to just mention some of those things tonight. And so we will be telling more of those and putting those on the website. And as we said, making phone calls and texting just to remind people of some of those things. So keep them in mind. I request a prayer, a couple of things, and then we're going to look just for a little bit tonight into the Word of the Lord. Not going to take a great amount of time this evening. Gosh, Amy did get home on Monday. He is at home recovering. He is feeling a little better. They have set him up with oxygen at home. They did tell him in the course of all of these things that the cancer has spread into his lungs. And it is stage 3 cancer in his lungs. So he has that now that he's dealing with. So keep them in prayer and asking the Lord to help. Continue to pray for Joyce as she's dealing with a broken collarbone and asking the Lord to help her. I was talking with Holden a moment ago, and Jan is still recovering, gaining strength. So ask the Lord to help her. Darnell doing the same. She sees the doctor on Monday. So ask the Lord to help there. She's hoping to get her cast on, hoping good news on that, about getting her cast on so she can begin putting some weight on her foot. Continue to pray for Holly. She'll be starting back with treatments on the 10th of June. So pray for her. Also for Randy's dad, Harry. He will be seeing a heart and lung doctor on Tuesday of next week. Randy says he don't know whether they will do a biopsy of the place they found it. But ask the Lord to help him and touch him and meet the needs there. So a lot of requests. And then all we have on our prayer list, I tried to update it today. So check those out and ask the Lord to help them and touch them and meet the needs of their hearts and of their lives. So a lot of things. So to be praying. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. And as they said, we'll look into a few things in His Word. Our Father, we thank You tonight for just the privilege to be in Your house, to open Your Word tonight. I ask that You'd touch our minds, our hearts, and speak to us as You alone can. Somehow, Father, I ask that you would touch our many requests, these that we made on. Lord, you know all about them, and you know the needs of their lives and of their hearts. Somehow, God, encourage them, strengthen them by your power and by your might. Help us as a church family. Keep us safe in your care and meet the needs of our hearts and of our souls as you alone can. And we'll thank you for it. Oh, Father, I pray that you would work a work in our hearts this evening. Touch my heart. Help me as I open your word. Help me to share what you have put in my heart. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, we humbly ask and pray. Amen. I ask you to turn again tonight to James chapter number 1. The first chapter of James. I read these verses that I want to look at again tonight. Verses 16 through 18. I read them as part of what I used last week, but the Lord has continued to touch my heart, and I used them at the very end of our study last week. But I want to go back, and I hadn't intended on this. When I finished them last week, I had intended to pick up with verse 19 and look at the next section. But the Lord wouldn't let me get away from these last couple of verses that I really want to go back and just touch on some things tonight. And then we'll go on to verse 19 next time. But in verse 16, look at what he said in the first chapter of the book of James. James says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." That is verses 16 through 18, that which is on our heart tonight. As I said, we covered these as we looked at the end of last week's study. Our thoughts then were that James was saying that in the times of temptation, which come to all of us, to remember these things that he pointed out in these last few verses, but only scratched the surface of them last time. And as I mentioned a moment ago, I can't get away from what he said in these verses, and I really just have felt impressed to the Lord that I needed to come back and share just a few thoughts on these verses and dig a little deeper in what James has to say. The thought that what James is driving home to these early Christians is that they not forget these things in times of testing, in times of trouble, in times of temptation, and the fact of the goodness of God. And here's the foundation of the thought, that there are times when we're under the stress and the strain of severe trial that someone might be tempted to doubt the very goodness of the Lord. Now, tonight, I'm going to say this. Now, if you listen to me, I'm going to say this. Now, we can sit in our ivory towers of holiness, and we can pretend that we would never entertain such thoughts as that. But if we're truly honest, if we're really, really honest tonight, that in our darkest hours and in our most difficult trials that the enemy has come to us with an attempt to place in our minds questions of the very goodness of God. And I say that in honesty tonight, because if that were not a fact, why would the Holy Spirit not have had James to put verse 13 in the text? Because he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. James says, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. The Holy Spirit tells James to let not a man say that. So there must be occasions that somebody will, when they are under severe trials, that they'll entertain that thought by the enemy, putting it in their mind that somehow God has failed them, that somehow God has shortchanged them. And I talked about that last week. So we can see it. We can see it in our holiness and say, well, not me. I'd never think that. I'd never say that. I'd never let that enter my mind, challenging the goodness of God. But I'm here to say tonight that there are times in your life and in my life that you can be under such severe trials of life that the enemy will come in on you in such a way that he will try to press in your thoughts that God has let you down, that God has failed you, and he will challenge in your mind the very goodness of God. So James is putting that in this text because he knows it is a real danger during times of trial. You see, it would have been easy for them under that unrelenting pressure and the persecution that they were facing, for them to think that God had failed them, that God had turned against them. You see, these early Christians were facing intense persecution. They were facing intense trials in their life. And the same can be with us, because when difficulties continue to come, when prayers seem to go unanswered, when problems increase instead of decrease, when your dreams seem to fade, we can be tempted to question it ourselves. And James knows that, and God knows that. So James puts it in our text. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. He's saying, don't be deceived about it. Don't let the enemy trick you into thinking that in the midst of the most difficult hours in your life, that God has ceased to be good to you. Don't let the enemy convince you in the most difficult times in your life that God's no longer good, that God has failed you and shortchanged you. So that's what I'm talking about tonight, this thought. And I'm going to be quick about it the best I can be done. On the goodness of God. The goodness of God. James tells us, first of all, in the first part of verse 17, he talks about the goodness of God seen in his giving. The goodness of God seen in his giving. Look at what he says. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So he reminds them and he reminds us that even when life is hard, that even when life is tough, even whenever you're under trials of life, and even when life is difficult, that every good gift and every perfect gift still comes from God. That everything that you have still is a good gift from God. You see, there is in the text here two words for the word gift. He says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. In our English language, both of them, the words gift are there. But in the Greek language, they are two different words. The first word, gift, is a word in the Greek that speaks of the giving. It speaks of the act of giving. The second word, gift, actually talks about the gift itself. So the idea is this, that both the giving and the gift are from the Lord, and they're good. They're good. In other words, that everything that God gives to you and I is good. That everything that God gives to us is good. That God always is giving to us good things. Even in our darkest hours, even in our darkest moments, even in our most difficult situations, you and I can still look around and see how that God is still giving us good things. He's still giving us good things. Everything that we have is a gift from God. You can think about it like this today. There are good gifts in everything if you look around. I don't know of any of you today, according and be myself, that if you and I wanted it, we had something to eat today. I think about the food we eat. I think about the clothes that we wear. I think about the cars that we drive. I think about the homes that we live in. I think about the jobs that we have to provide for our needs and for our families. You and I may crumble and complain about our jobs and about how difficult at times they may be. But thank God tonight you have a job. There are people tonight that wish they had one. There are people tonight that wish that they had a job. Maybe 2 months ago they did, but tonight they're out of a job and they're trying to live on unemployment checks. But if you have a job tonight, you ought to thank God for that. So you can look around and realize that in areas of your life, you may be dealing with sickness. You may be dealing with sorrows. You may be dealing with problems and difficulties. But if you look around, you can still say God has still been good. But then you think about, on top of that, the daily mercies of God. He let us wake up this morning. He let you get out of bed today. He let you, if you went to work, he let you go to work today. He let you live. He gave you air to breathe. He let you go about your day. He let me walk around the house today. He let me come to the house of the Lord this evening. He's letting me see right now. He's letting me read right now. He's letting us hear. He's letting us think. He's given us all of these things. I think about his daily mercies, his grace, his help. I want to tell you tonight that God is good. And that's what he's saying. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Even though life at times is hard and difficult, that's what James is saying. that life may be hard and difficult, but if you'll just look around, God is still so good to every one of us. Notice the word every. He said every good gift. That word every means the whole amount. It means the totality of it all. In giving, God's giving is inexhaustible. He gives everything that could possibly be needed. He holds back nothing. He holds back nothing. God gives us everything we need. I want to tell you tonight, whatever our need is, that's what He in goodness provides. God supplies. Hasn't He always come through? The choir sings a song with those words in it. Hasn't He always come through? Yes, He has. There's been times in my life that I've had needs, but He's always come through. God is good. God's good. But notice the perfect, what He says, that word perfect. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That word perfect is the idea that it is appropriate, or it is just what is needed. God's gifts are appropriate. I'll be honest with you. And there's been times I've been looking for the most perfect gift for somebody. Maybe a birthday gift, or maybe a Christmas gift. And I wanted to find the most perfect gift that I could find. But still, I come up short. It maybe ended up it wasn't the perfect gift. But God always, always has the perfect gift for us. He always provides perfectly exactly what we need. So the idea is that God in goodness provides every good and perfect gift that we need. Whatever it is, He always provides good for us in our times of need. So James is reminding these people who are suffering, who are dealing with hardships, who's dealing with trials, to remind them that God is good in His giving, that God's good in His giving. I want to say to you tonight that God's been good to me in His giving, that He's given me more than I deserve, that God's good in His giving. But He not only is talking about the goodness of God seen in the giving, but He secondly talks about the goodness of God seen in the giver, in the giver. Notice what He says again, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It cometh down from the Father of lights. That little phrase, cometh down, that little phrase speaks of a continual coming. In other words, God continues to give good things to us. That God continues to give good things. He doesn't just give occasionally, but God continuously gives good things to you and I. Thank God He does that. He continuously gives. But notice the giver, how He describes Him as the giver. James says that the same God, the Father, who created the lights in the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, is the same one who sends down goodness to our lives. So we have what he says here, that the Father of lights, it comes down from the Father of lights. Why did James call Him the Father of lights? Why didn't he just say that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father and leave it at that? But why Did James say it cometh down from the Father of lights? The Father of lights. Well, it recognizes God's goodness to mankind in giving light to the world. On the first day of creation, God created light. And when God created light, he said that it was good. That's what he said in the book of Genesis. It says on the first day of creation that God created light and he saw that it was good. So from the very beginning, God's goodness was the center of creation. And throughout the days of creation, you'll find the words that says God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. So you think about God's creation, that he saw that it was good. So everything God was doing in creation was good. But he calls him here the Father of lights. The Father of lights. He's the one that put the sun in its place and keeps it there. The sun still shining, bringing its warmth to our planet and to our lives. Ever since God created it. Well, back there at the very beginning of time, when God created the sun, the moon, the stars, back in the beginning of creation, that God created the sun, the moon, the stars. The sun is still there, shining, giving warmth and light. It speaks of the goodness of God, the goodness of God to his creation, and the faithfulness of God in giving light. So what is all of that saying by what James says? That God, who is the Father of lights, he is faithful in his goodness toward you and I. He is faithful in his goodness to me. He's faithful in his goodness to you. That God, he's faithful in the sun shining. I don't know about you. I didn't wake up today and say, boy, I sure hope the sun comes up. I didn't wake up and worry, is the sun going to rise? I didn't go to bed last night and worry about whether the sun's going to come up. Because God's faithful for the sun to rise. He is faithful keeping it there. God's faithful in his goodness for the sun to shine on his creation. I want to tell you, I don't have to worry, is God's goodness going to run out for you and me? He is faithful, faithful in his goodness. He went on to say in that verse 17, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What's the idea? The idea is that there was nothing in God that'll ever change. There's no variation in God that he will never, ever change. Now, you and I know that the sun rises and the sun sets. You and I know that as the sun goes through the course of the day, that there are shadows that cross because of the movement of the sun. And there is a variableness in the sun shining. The sun, because of its shining in the morning, will cast a shadow this way. And then as it goes on the other side in the day, it'll cast a shadow that way. But it isn't that way with God. The idea with him is that unlike the sun moving, that God stays the same. That he's faithful in his goodness to you and I, that he is infinitely good. He's eternally good. He's unchangeably good toward every one of us. Our world changes continuously. Our circumstances change daily. Our bodies change constantly. Our health changes drastically. Our lives can change instantly, but God's goodness never changes. Outward things can change and may change, but God, His goodness toward us will never, ever change. God's always good. He'll always be good toward His children. And that is what James wanted these children of God to realize, that circumstances in your life, they change. But God's goodness toward you will never change. He's always good. He's always good toward us. God's good at all times and in all ways toward our lives. But notice the last thing, and I'm done. In verse number 18, he tells us not only can we see God's goodness seen in the giving, and not only seeing God's goodness in the giver, but James in verse 18 says the goodness of God is seen in the gift. In the gift. Notice verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He said, of all of the good and perfect gifts that God gives to us, here's the greatest gift of all. You say, what is it? James reminds his readers of their salvation, that though it may have taken place at a particular place and time, but he reminds them that it had its origin in the heart of God in eternity past. He says in that verse, of his own will, begat he us with a word of truth. That God of his own will begat he us with a word of truth. What a marvelous story it is of grace that the Father of creation, the God of eternity past, would choose to save us as sinners who would accept his salvation in time. That God in eternity past would plan a thing called salvation. That God, before he ever laid the foundation of the world, he knew that man would sin, and he made a plan of redemption. And God chose to redeem all who would come to him by the blood of his Son. You see, it's always been God's will for men to be saved. He says in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It has always been God's will for men to be saved. But God knows that not all men will be. He gives men that right and that choice to make the decision. God desires it. God desires it, and he wills for men to be saved. But he gives them that choice, and some will reject him. But he's made the plan. He's made, given them the opportunity. He's made salvation available to all men. But not all men will accept it. But James says, of his own will begat he us with a word of truth. God chose to redeem those that would come to him. And in time, God brings the word of truth to every man, enlightens every man, and man will make the choice to accept that truth or reject it. I thank God for the day that I heard the preaching of the gospel. I thank God for the day that that word of truth came to my heart, convicted me of sin, and saved me by amazing grace. I think about the goodness of God putting me where I was at to hear the gospel message. I think of all the places that I could have been born, but God blessed me to allow me to be born in an area where the gospel was so prevalent to be preached. Most of us grew up from a child hearing the gospel preached. You know, we could have been born in a communist country. We could have been born in the Amazon jungles. We could have been born in the darkest corners of the continent of Africa. We could have been born in a Muslim country. We could have been born in a lot of places and situations. But God, in His goodness, let us be born right here in this area to hear the gospel preached and the opportunity of salvation. I say tonight, oh, I thank God for the goodness and the grace of God toward this boy and allowing me to hear the gospel preached. I want to tell you, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. But He introduced a last thought. He says there in that verse, He says that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation. How when James used the word we, He is talking about those first century Christians, those early Christians. He said that they were a kind of first fruits, that they were some of the early ones brought in to the gospel and hearing the gospel and saved. You see, that takes you back to the Old Testament. I mentioned it last week, to those first fruits. Those first fruits were the first cuttings of the crops, and they were brought to honor God and given to God, and they represented more to follow, that there was more crops yet to come, and representing that there would be more given and more to come that was in the field. I want to tell you, James said that you believers now, that you're a kind of first fruits, that there's going to be more believers follow, that you are just the first fruits. You say, what about that towards you and I? That you and I are the ones that are following. They were the first fruits, and we are the ones that are coming along after them. I want to tell you, I thank God I'm just part of the number. I thank God for the goodness and the grace of God that He just let me be part of the family of God. He didn't have to save me. He would have been a just God to have let me die and gone to hell. But He's been good to me. He allowed me to hear the gospel. He allowed me to be saved by the grace of God. And one day He's going to allow me to stand in His presence, to bow at His feet, to worship Him, to honor Him as an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I say to you and I tonight that God's been good to every one of us. So James writes to these saints that are weary from the trials of life, and no doubt they're struggling from the temptations of life. He says, don't be deceived about these things. Don't let the enemy, let the doubts about God creep into your life and question the goodness of God, that even though there's struggles and heartaches and sorrows and difficulties, that God's still good. That even when we don't understand why we suffer, that even when we don't understand why we hurt, and even when we don't understand why we face the trials of life, that God's still good. That God's still worthy of our faithfulness and our service to Him. I say to you tonight, child of God, some of you may be hurting tonight. Some of you may be facing trials of difficulty, disappointment, frustration. Some of you may not understand why you're dealing with all you're dealing with. But I want to tell you tonight, don't let the enemy come in, cause you to question God's goodness. God's still good. He's still good. Even when I don't understand all that I face in life, I still have to rise up and say, God's still good to me. He's blessed me far greater than I ever deserved. I've said it. You've heard me say it. And I say it again tonight in closing. If God closed the books on me tonight, and God never did another thing for this old boy from this day on till he called me home, I still could say tonight he's done enough for me in days past for me to praise him throughout all eternity. God's been good. God is good. And he always will be. Thank God tonight for the goodness of God. I appreciate you. Appreciate you listening tonight. I hope it's been a blessing. Appreciate you being a part of the service. Keep in mind, the change we'll have for this coming Sunday, Lord willing, we'll be meeting inside. Keep watching the website. We'll be posting some things and listing some things that we'll be doing, some guidelines for coming in. So keep watching. We'll be putting those things hopefully tomorrow. So be careful going home. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for just being who you are. Thank you that you're good to us at all times and in all ways. Father, encourage hearts tonight that are discouraged. Keep us always in your care. Meet every need as only you can. Strengthen us, Father. Prepare us for this Lord's Day as only you're able. In Jesus' name, we humbly ask and pray. Amen.